take your word, when you use the word of God to combat the enemy, this is what it looks like in the spiritual realm. It's not just pieces of paper. It's actually a weapon. And we see Jesus use this model when the enemy takes him into the wilderness and tempts him. And what does Jesus say? Jesus combats every lie of the enemy with this. It is written.
Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
Good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Mayel, and I am so glad that you are here with us. I'm married to Pastor Nate, and whether you're joining us online or in person, welcome to PCC. We have been in a series called Anchored since the beginning of January. Can you believe it? 3 months in the book of Ephesians, and today we are wrapping it up. And Paul's words, the first words we are going to read in a minute, are finally. And maybe some of you are feeling that way. Finally, we are through this. But this has been such an incredible series, studying the Word of God. And the book of Ephesians is such a rich book, pointing to the truth of our identity in Christ. So the first part of it, he really dives deep. The Apostle Paul dives deep into who we are in Christ. And today we're going to look at how we guard and protect that identity. And we're going to be talking about the topic of spiritual warfare. Everybody say spiritual warfare. I have a friend up here. It's a knight in shining armor from my dear friend Joy Burchette. She let me borrow it today, so I don't want you to get distracted. I am going to be using this in a moment, but this is a visual for us that we're going to use. Many of you know my boys, Titus and Tate. How many of you have met them? Titus and Tate, all right. Most of you have met them. If you haven't met them yet, I hope you get to soon. Titus is 11, Tate is 7, and they are full of energy and fun. And one of the things that they love to do with Nate and I is they love for us to play the game Mario Kart together. Video game. Anybody else like to play, their kids like, you guys like to play Mario Kart as a family or maybe just, well, I did not grow up playing video games and I'm not good at video games. So I do it because I love my children, but I can't say that I've even grown to love playing the game. But I remember the first time we played Mario Kart, I picked out my character, which of course was Princess Peach. Who else would I be? And actually, Tate will dictate who everybody is. He's always Bowser. Tate loves Bowser, so he always has to be Bowser. And so we start racing, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm pretty good at this. I started feeling really confident because I was number one in the race. And I thought, man, I've just got the anointing of Mario Kart on me. I am good at this. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a banana peel hits me. If you haven't played the game, I did not know this was a part of it, but a banana peel hit me and I spun around and I shouted out, "Who did that? Who did that?" Silence. Then as we continue to go along, all of a sudden, I see this huge blob of black oil in my face and I couldn't see a thing. I got attacked again and I started to yell, "Who did that to me? Who did this?" It was silent. And then it was near the finish line. I was second. I was coming into a close first, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I got struck by lightning. Struck by lightning. If you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about. I had no idea that this was a battle. I thought it was simply a race. And I stood up because at this point, I was offended that I had gotten hit so many times. Why on earth would my family be attacking me? That's what I thought. And I said, "Who is hitting me?" And off in the corner, I hear a little laugh. Like that. And it's Tate. Tate goes, "It was me. It was me." He was so proud of himself. But I had no idea that this Mario Kart race was actually a battlefield as well. You know, Apostle Paul addresses this very thing with us in Ephesians today, that yes, we are running a race, but we are also in a battle. That the life that we are living is not a playground, it's a battlefield. And he addresses the type of battle that we are facing. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, we read this. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What is Paul saying? He's saying there's a battle going on, but it's not what you can see, it's what you can't see. When I was playing Mario Kart, I could not see the attacks that were coming. I had no idea where they were coming from, but they kept hitting me and I was not prepared. So what Paul is saying is he's saying, hey, wake up, open your eyes to see that there is a battle going on around you in the spiritual realm, but it's not what you can see, it's what you can't see. So what he's saying is that your enemy, your real enemy, it's not your spouse. You might need to just don't do it now, but on the way home, tell them, I'm really not your enemy. You need to let them know. I'm really not your enemy. Your enemy's not your spouse. Your enemy is not that coworker that drives you crazy. That's not your enemy. There's an enemy, and he's the devil who is out scheming. He's scheming. The word of God just said that the devil is scheming against us. Do you know what scheming means? When you scheme, that means you are plotting. That means you are planning. That means you are studying your enemy's likes and dislikes, strengths and weaknesses. You are plotting, waiting for the opportune time to strike. So it says that the devil is scheming against us. But I have good news for you today. And it's this, that in Christ, you and I are anchored for victory. In Christ, you and I are anchored in victory. So we don't have to be afraid of the enemy's schemes. Why? Because Christ has already defeated him. And so what Paul is saying is be aware that there is a battle going on, but in Christ, you can stand firm. So there's actually two orientations of the armor that he addresses. It's to be, he says, to be strong and to take. To take. So really what the armor is meant is that we actually are able to protect and guard what Christ has already given us. We don't actually have to fight the battle. Jesus already won the battle, but we have to be strong and take our ground to stand firm. I love what Dr. Tony Evans, he says this. He says that everything visible and physical is preceded by the invisible and spiritual. That's a tongue twister. Try to say that 10 times. I'm going to say it again, but listen to this. Everything visible and physical is preceded by the invisible and the spiritual, meaning that whatever we are seeing here in the physical realm is actually preceded by what's happening in the spiritual realm. So we have to understand that we have to be a part of two worlds, that yes, we're here physically, but there is a spiritual realm going all around us that we have to be aware of. But you are anchored in Christ, you're gonna have a victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm victorious. I'm victorious. In Christ, we are anchored for victory. So today, I just want to share with you three different thoughts that I believe are going to help you stay anchored in the victory that is yours in Christ. And the first thing is this. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. That's the first thought. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. You cannot fight in the spirit with the flesh. It doesn't work. But most of us live our lives trying to fight spiritual battles out of our own strength, our own power, our own might, our own strategy. But what Paul is saying is no, there's a better way to fight. There's a way that you can fight that you will actually be able to take your ground. You will just stand strong in the Lord's mighty power. This last week, Pastor Nate preached a brilliant message last Sunday. And if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But I found myself during the sermon getting distracted. And I was distracted, yes, by his handsome appearance and good looks, but also by this massive bug that was... How many of you saw that bug? Okay, I was not the only one. All right, so there was this massive bug that was literally just flying around everywhere. And it was big. I don't know what it was, but it looked like a huge wasp. It was big. You guys saw it, right? And so, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, my flesh, this is what my flesh was thinking. I need to go find a fly swatter and kill that thing. I honestly was. That was what my flesh wanted to do. But as I sat there, I thought, you know, Mael, that's not wise. That's not probably going to help anybody in there not be distracted. I mean, just, I'm letting you into my thought process. And then I had this thought, the Holy Spirit reminded me, there's a spiritual battle going on, that the enemy was trying to bring distraction. Now, am I saying that every bug is from the devil and demonic? No, I'm not saying that. We're not over-spiritualizing this. But in that moment, that was a distraction. And so I sat there, and I said, God, you got to deal with that bug. You got to deal with it, Lord. That bug is distracting people. So in the mighty name of Jesus, deal with it. And the bug dropped. How many of you saw the bug drop? Cheryl saw the bug drop. The bug went like this, and all of a sudden it went boom, and it fell to the ground. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sitting in the front row with my jaw dropped because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it worked. That was way better than me going and getting a fly swatter. So my flesh had an idea of what I could do. But my spirit, when I attune my spirit to the Holy Spirit, he gives us the strategy to know how to combat the enemy. Now that might sound silly, but you know what? It worked. And when we pray, we are activating, we are accessing the resources of heaven to come down and give us aid, to give us the help that we need. But you cannot fight a spiritual battle with your flesh. What will happen is if you try to fight a spiritual battle with your flesh, you're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. You're going to find yourself defeated. And if you're here today and you've experiencing that, you're experiencing that right now, I want to encourage you that all you need to do is look at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, that in him you can be strong. That's what Paul's saying. Stand strong in his mighty power, not in your strength, not in your power, but in his power you can be strong to take your stand against the enemy. But you have to fight with the right weapons. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you will stand. I want to pause for a moment. What is the day of evil? The day of evil. The day of evil is when the enemy makes his attack. It's when all that scheming, he makes his attack. And he attacks you, he attacks your family. But I have good news because long before the enemy started scheming and plotting against you, God formed you in your mother's womb. He made you, he created you, and he purposed you. So if you are in Christ, if you know Jesus as your Savior, that means you are marked by the blood of Christ. And that blood is a boundary line to the enemy that says he can no longer mess with you. He has no authority over you. That is good news. So even when the day of evil comes, when the enemy comes after you or your family, you can stand strong. Why? Because you serve a victorious God that is on your side. And if God is for you, then nothing can stand against you. Amen. Nothing can stand against you. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the first thought, you cannot fight a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. My second thought, the armor only works if you put it on. The armor only works if you put it on. You see, God gives us the armor, but he doesn't put it on us. We have to put it on us. Now, every day, this morning, in fact, we all do one thing the same. And that is, we get up and we get dressed. Because we know that it is necessary to be able to leave our house, we have to have our clothes on. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. If you go out without your clothes on, there will be some serious consequences because you will be exposed. And that is not how we're to live. But every day we get up, we get dressed, and we walk out of our house fully clothed. Did you know that if you get up spiritually and you do not put the armor on, you are spiritually exposed? And this is what we're called to look like. This is what we're called to look like spiritually, is that every day we would put our armor on so that when we walk out of the house, what are we? We're prepared. We are ready. We can stand our ground no matter what arrows may come our way. Why? Because we are covered by the armor of God. So the armor of God is not just something that we talk about in church. It's something we're actually supposed to activate. And when you put it on, that's what you look like in the spiritual realm. I don't know about you, but I don't want to mess with somebody that looks like that. So my question is, do you have your armor on? Every day before my boys go to school, we have a routine. We've been doing this routine for years. And I ask them this. I say, Titus, Tate, who are you? And they say, I'm a mighty warrior. I said, that's right. I say, why do I love you? And they say, because I'm your son. And then I said, okay, let's put the armor of God on. So we put the armor of God on together every single day. And you know, if I get out of order or Nate gets out of order, they let us know because they know what the armor of God is. In fact, I think it was about a year and a half ago, we had been doing the armor of God. There's just YouTube, fun songs for your kids. There are great songs about the armor of God. And Titus yells out as we get to leave, oh no, I don't have my clothes on. And I said, Titus, you're fully clothed. And he goes, no mom, I don't have the armor on. I'm naked. And I said, oh, you're right. So we did the armor of God together. But here's what I'm telling you is that as necessary as it is to put your clothes on every day, it's just as necessary to put the armor of God every single day. That this would become a normal part of our routine every day. You can forget to brush your teeth. Hopefully you don't. You can forget to brush your teeth, but don't forget to put your armor on. Because you have a covering over you. A heavenly covering, a spiritual covering. And so he says, Paul says, to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Now, what is the belt of truth? Well, the belt in the armor would have been the piece that held everything else together. It was the first piece because it connected everything else. And so the belt of truth, when you put on the belt of truth, is what you're saying is that I am buckling myself. I am fastening myself to the truth of God's word. I am fastening myself to the truth about what God says about me, about him, about this world, about his promises. I'm buckling myself into truth. You know, the area that the enemy is going to come and attack you in, he's going to try to deceive you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive you so that you don't wear the belt of truth. Why? So that you will be vulnerable to his lies. If you look in Genesis, we see this tactic. He doesn't have new tactics. It just, sometimes it's not as obvious as we think. But Eve is in the garden and she's been told by God, who she walked and talked with, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so she's in the garden and the snake comes. And as the snake comes, he begins to plant seeds of deception and doubt. The very first question that was ever asked in the Bible was actually asked by the serpent. And this was the question, did God really say? Did God really say that you could not eat from that tree? And in our lives, that's usually how it starts, seeds of doubt and deception. Did God really say that you're forgiven? Did God really say that you're loved? Is the Bible really true? These doubts that come our way. And if we are not fastened with the truth, we will get deceived. We live in a world where there's deception all around us. Why? Because culture would say that truth is relative. That truth is what's true to you. But I'm here to tell you today that we have a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the thing that buckles us in to his truth, to his foundation. And the Bible says that when you know the truth will, what? Set you free. So when you buckle yourself into truth, you're actually buckling yourself into freedom. So put on the belt of truth. Anchor yourself in the truth of God's word about what he says about you, who you are, who he is. Buckle yourself into freedom. Put on the belt of truth. And then he says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. When I was growing up, My grandma, my mom's mom, owned a farm, a large piece of property in Snohomish in the Washington area. And I used to love going to her farm because she had all kinds of animals. She had goats, she had sheep, she had cows, she had horses. But she also had this large piece of property in the back, in her back woods. We called it Oma's Woods. And in the woods, she had this really large pond. And she would let us, when we would go with her, we'd get to go on the canoe. But every time we would go to get into the canoe, to go on this little pond, we would have to flip the canoe over. So this is what we would do. We would run up, bunch of girls, we'd run up, grab the canoe, flip it over, scream, and run away. Literally, every time. We'd grab it, we'd flip it over, we'd run and scream away. Why? Because the dark, wet environment was the perfect invitation to all kinds of creatures and critters that I wanted nothing to do with. Mice, snakes, spiders, all kinds of things that I did not want to have to deal with. So we would flip it over, and they'd come crawling out, slithering out. And then we'd have to clean it. We'd have to take time and actually clean it out. And then we'd go on the pond. But you know what's interesting is that, you know, we didn't have to, like, invite these creatures to come. We didn't have to say, all right, here's your canoe. It's your turn. You can come under. It's your space now. No, they were invited into it. Why? Because it was dark. It was wet. It was cold. It was the perfect conditions for them. And you know what unrighteousness looks like? That's what unrighteousness looks like, is that upside down canoe, living in darkness and shame. Righteousness is right side up living. It's living in the light, exposed to the light of Christ, where we are not hidden or hiding in sin and darkness or shame, but we are exposing our lives to Christ and allowing him to clean us out. It's right side up living. So when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, what you're saying is, I'm going to guard the purity and my right standing with God, because in Christ, Christ makes you righteous. So that we have right standing with the Father. But we have to guard that. We have to guard our hearts. The breastplate would have been the largest piece of the armor because it protected some of your most vital organs. And it protected your heart. The Bible says that your heart is the place where all issues of life flow. Your heart is the birthplace of your belief system. When you ask Jesus into your heart, it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Your heart is vital, but we have to protect it. We have to guard it with righteousness and understanding that this gift of freedom and purity that we have in Christ, oh, it's to be guarded. That we guard it with vigilance. Why? Because we want to have up, right side up living. And if you're here today and you have been living a life that you know is more like the canoe upside down, God is so good that he can take it in a moment and flip it over and clean you out so that you can be in right standing with him. But friends, we have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says to put on the shoes of peace. Say shoes of peace. In those days, the soldiers would have had shoes more like sandals, but they had spikes in the bottom of them so that every time they put their foot on the ground, no matter what the foundation was like, they would have a firm grip. So it would have been much like a soccer cleat or a football cleat. So what Paul is saying is here is anchor yourself in the firm foundation of God's peace that is found in Jesus. It's Jesus that the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We have peace because of what Jesus came to do. Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. So when you have peace, you can stand firm no matter what comes your way. If you are wearing the shoes of fear, of insecurity, or shame, you know what you're gonna do when a battle comes? You're gonna run the other way. But if you are fitted with the shoes of peace, it doesn't matter what comes your way. Why? Because you are confident that God is who he says he is and he can do what he said he's gonna do. You're confident in the peace that comes from knowing Jesus. Your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. And then he says, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. I love this. You can see that our armor, our friend here, I'm not sure if he has a name, Joy. Joy Burchett has this in her house to remind herself to put on the armor every day. Is that right? Does your guy have a name? No, he's a knight. He's a mighty knight. But he has a shield. Notice where his shield is. It's up. You know, most of us, as believers, we have faith, but we're dragging it behind us. And it looks a lot like this. When trials come our way, when the arrows come our way, we're dragging our shield of faith. We're like, well, I hope God can come through. I think he can. I mean, maybe he's got it. I don't know. He used to do miracles. We'll see if he can still do it today. That's what we sound like. Our shield of faith is way down here. But what does it say? Paul says to know, take it up. Put it up. And you know what taking up your shield of faith looks like? It looks like declaring that my God is the same God that parted the Red Seas and shut the mouths of lions and raised the dead to life and healed the lame and the sick and the leper. He's the same God. And if he did it back then, he can do it today. It's being confident that God can do the miraculous, that impossible is where our God can shine through the most. So we got to put our shield up. When I was pregnant with Tate, I had a lot of health issues because of blood clotting issues and lots of different factors that were involved in. Titus was 3 years old. And I remember there was this one day that I was really just struggling. And I remember I was sitting there just crying, asking God to help me. And my shield honestly was like down here. I did not have it up. And Titus came over to me, 3 years old. And he looks at me, put his arm around me, he said, Mom, it's all right. God's got this. It's all right, Mom, God's got this. And you know what that did for me? Oh, it lifted my shield. You're right, God's got this. And some of you need to hear that today. God's got this. We need to be the kind of people that we can stir the faith of others. That when we see others who have their shield down, we come along and help them lift it. No, our God is a faithful God. He's a God that's gonna come through. He's a God who keeps his promises. He is a faithful God, but we gotta put our shield up, the shield of faith. And then Paul says to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet would have been vital for obvious reasons. If you get hit in your head, you could die instantly. Your helmet of salvation, it reminds you of the assurance that you are a new creation in Christ. The Bible actually tells us that we can put on the mind of Christ. That when you put on the mind of Christ, that you can be confident of who you are in him. So when the enemy tries to attack your mind with doubt and fear and insecurity, you can stand firm in the assurance, knowing that, man, the old is gone, the new has come. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. My eternity is secure because I have faith in Jesus. It's assurance. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we're reminding ourselves of who he is and who we are to him. Put on the helmet of salvation. And then lastly, he says to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I like this nice sword, but mine's a little bit cooler than that. You've seen me take this out before. I brought it out last summer, but I want to bring it out again. This is a real sword. But when you read your word, when you use the word of God to combat the enemy, this is what it looks like in the spiritual realm. It's not just pieces of paper. It's actually a weapon. And we see Jesus use this model when the enemy takes him into the wilderness and tempts him. And what does Jesus say? Jesus combats every lie of the enemy with this. It is written. So Jesus actually models spiritual warfare for us. And we have access to the greatest weapon, and that is the word of God. So when the enemy comes at you and he says that you're worthless, you're not wanted, you pull out your word and you say, you know what? No, my word says that I am a child of God, and you slay the enemy. He has no authority over you. That's what it looks like. When the enemy comes at you and says, you know what, you have no purpose. There's no purpose for your life. You've ruined it. You open the Word of God and you find that God created you in your mother's womb. He ordained every day for you. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And you know what happens? You cut off the head of the enemy. He has no authority over you. So you are powerful in the spirit when you pull out the Word of God. We have to stop looking at the Bible as just pages of paper, but as a weapon, so that when the enemy attacks us, we pull it out and we pull out our sword. We go to battle. We go to fight. Why? Because we know this is powerful. No one's gonna come mess with me. I got a sword in my hand, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's what the Word of God is. So the next time you pull out your Bible, this is what I want you to think. I'm getting my sword out. I'm getting my sword out and visualize this. Some of you might need to even put a little note to yourself in your Bible. This is my sword. It's a powerful weapon that I can destroy the tactics of the enemy with. My question to you today is, do you use your sword? Do you pull out the Word of God to combat the enemy? Or are you trying to do it in your own strength? You know, ignoring isn't fighting. But you can take the enemy head on. And the more you use the Word of God as your sword, the more and the quicker you'll be able to identify the lies of the enemy. The enemy has no authority over you. All authority, Jesus has. But the enemy will try and mess with you. He'll try and deceive you and discourage you and distract you. But in Christ, you are anchored for victory. And so today, I just want to take a moment as the worship team comes out and let's put the armor of God on together. Let's spiritually get dressed together. So Lord, we come before you and we thank you for the belt of truth. We anchor ourselves in the truth of your word. We anchor ourselves in freedom today. We believe that we are who you say we are and that you are who you say you are. Lord, we pray for the breastplate of righteousness. We thank you, Jesus, that you have made us right with the Father. And today we put on the breastplate of righteousness, guarding our heart, guarding the purity and integrity of our lives. We put it on. And Lord, we put on the shoes of peace, the confidence that comes from knowing, God, that we can have a firm foundation in you, that your gospel, your word, points us to Jesus, the good news of Jesus, that in him we have eternal life, that in him we are made right with the Father. So we have peace today. We put on the shoes of peace, knowing that the shoes of peace, they help us stand firm no matter what may come our way. And we take up the shield of faith. God, we believe that you are who you say you are and you can do what you said you can do. God, we believe that you are mighty and powerful and greater than anything we might face. So even if we might have faced something difficult this week, bad news, difficulty in our marriage, difficult with our finances, things that are causing us to lower our shield, today we take up our shield. We take it up and we put our faith in you, our trust in you. You're a mighty God. You're a mighty God, and you are a shield around us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We put on the helmet of salvation. And I want to pause here for a moment. If you have not asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that so that you can firmly have the helmet of salvation on your head. So if you're here and you've not asked Jesus into your heart, I want to give you the opportunity to make the best decision of your life, and that's to say yes to Jesus. So if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, just lift your hand. I want to pray with you. I'm going to believe with you that today is the day of salvation. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Would you repeat after me, Jesus? Thank you for dying for me. Forgive me of my sins. Come in and be my Lord and Savior. I say yes to you. Thank you for the freedom that you give me. Thank you that I get to spend eternity with you in heaven. I love you, Jesus. Amen, amen. If you made that decision today, you now have the helmet of salvation. So we have the helmet of salvation. We take up the sword of the Spirit. God, we believe that your word is powerful and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. And we thank you, God, that you have equipped us with a weapon to combat the enemy with. We thank you that your word is powerful and that when we open it, you speak to us. And not only do you speak to us, but you give us the words to say when the enemy comes at us. So Lord, we choose to look at the word, your word, as a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, as the truth, as the standard of our lives, as the weapon in which we can destroy the enemy's tactics. Thank you, Father, that you don't leave us unequipped, but you've equipped us with everything that we need to stand firm. You can open your eyes. I know that there's traditionally 6 pieces of armor, but I would like to propose today that I believe there's actually 7. Because Paul's final words of his final words, it says this, it says, and pray. And pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Prayer is what gives you the strength to keep standing firm. And that's my third thought today, is that prayer gives you the power to keep standing firm. That yes, you have the armor on, and this is what you look like spiritually. And when you take your word out, you've got a weapon that defeats the enemy. But when you pray, prayer is what keeps you standing strong. And I want to show you this really powerful visual. I learned recently that eagles, when they fight, or when they try to catch snakes, they actually will, you can see this picture on the side, they will actually swoop down and grab the snake and change the battlefield. Why? Because a snake on the ground is cunning, it's crafty, it's quick. But in the air, the snake loses its balance and its stamina, and it can't fight back with the same power. So the eagle or the bird will take the snake up into the air and change the battleground. When we pray, we are literally changing the battleground on the enemy. We are changing the battleground. We're not coming to the enemy. The enemy wants you to fight him with your flesh because he knows we're weak. But in the spirit, we are overcomers. So when you pray, you are changing the battleground. And the enemy does not stand a chance. He has no authority. So today, I want to end. Would you stand with me? I want to end spending time praying together. We're going to spend some time going to battle together. Now, I know all of you are facing things that are difficult. Some of you might just be coming out of something difficult. Some of you are facing something difficult. Maybe you're in a really good season right now, but you can intercede for others. But here's what I want to say today, is that when you pray, you change the battlefield on the enemy, and he does not have any authority. So the importance of prayer is vital to us as a believer, that yes, we put the armor on every day so that we are covered, but we are in prayer. Why? Because it takes the enemy off of his playground into the true battlefield where Christ is victorious. So let's go to battle this morning. Let's pray and ask for God to do what only he can do. We have the armor on. So my question to you today is, what is it that you're going to go to battle today with? What are you asking God for? Maybe it's your child. It's a relationship with your child. I was thinking yesterday, for those of you who have kids that are far from the Lord, man, that is near to the heart of God. And that you as a parent, you have authority to bring that boldly before the throne. That you know what? You're not gonna stand back and watch the enemy mess with your family, but no, you're gonna take up your armor, you're gonna grab the sword of the Spirit, and you're gonna change the battleground on the enemy. Why? Because you're gonna fight in prayer. You're gonna fight the right way. You're gonna fight the spiritual battle and with the right weapon. Today is the day where I'm believing that there's gonna be breakthrough for your children that are far from God. Some of you who are facing physical illness, we're gonna believe God for a miracle in your body. What are you asking God for? And I want to just let you know that today is a day the altars are open. You can do business with the Lord. Do battle with the Lord. And let's see a victory released in your life. So God, we thank you that you are a victorious God. And just like that eagle knows how to fight the right way, God, you have opened our eyes to see how we can fight the spirit. We can fight in the spiritual realms. God, I thank you that you are so powerful over every situation that's represented here. And Lord, we're not gonna be the kind of Christians that just survive life. No, we wanna thrive. We wanna be overcomers. And today, God, we ask for you to intervene. We are changing the battleground. God, we come before you boldly. We're not gonna stand back and watch our family be attacked by the enemy. We are gonna stand firm and stand strong because we know that in Christ we have the victory. So I pray for those in here today who have kids that are far from you. God, I thank you that that is near to your heart. And I pray for a victory over their life. I pray, God, that they would sense your love and your peace. God, it's your love and kindness that draws them to repentance. So Lord, I pray that you would meet them right where they're at today. God, you have heard their prayers. And I thank you, God, that you are working. So God, we agree together for a breakthrough, God. I pray for those that need physical healing today, God. Lord, that we would experience a miracle in our body. A miracle in our body. And specifically, I've been feeling like the Lord has been asking me to pray. If you have pain in your wrist, anybody with wrist pain, specifically your right wrist, does anybody have right wrist pain? Okay, I see that hand. I'm believing the Lord's gonna heal you today. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer. And I pray over this mighty warrior, God, that you would touch her body, that you would heal her wrist pain, God, the pain that she feels in her body. We believe that you are a healer and that your blood speaks a better word. So Lord, I pray that you would release your supernatural power and heal her, Jesus. God, we thank you that we can come before you with boldness, knowing, God, that you care about every need that we have. And in you, we can see a victory. We can see a victory. Would you just say that with me? In you, Jesus, we have the victory. In you, Jesus, we have the victory. Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.